Very good. Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully this little pesky storm isn't causing too many problems for everyone. So we will call the meeting to order and get started. So our first order of business is to have approval of the December 5th, 2023 meeting minutes. If I could have a motion to that effect, please.
Motion made.
Thank you, Kasia. Second?
Second.
Who is that for the record?
It was Grace.
Great. Thank you, Grace. All righty. All those in favor of adopting the December 5th 2023 meeting minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Aye. All righty. Anyone abstaining or not in favor? Great. All righty. Thank you very much. We have next item is our reports from the chair and the staff. My only comments are Happy New Year. Haven't seen a number of you since the beginning of the year, so hopefully 2024 is off to a resounding start for everyone. And so I'm going to go quickly to Matt. Matt, do you have anything under Executive Director report?
I do. Thank you so much, Peter, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending today's meeting, and I hope people had a good weekend and that storm cleanup is going fine in your communities. A quick question before I proceed, since we don't have Kim today. Pauline, did you want people in attendance to put their name and organization in the chat for purposes of the minutes? Or are we all set with the recording?
We are all set with the recording because Zoom now records all the attendees and when they joined, and it's wonderful feature that they added, which we love. And as long as your names are correct on the screen, we should be fine. So just please make sure your name is correct.
Just wanted to make sure. Thank you. So I just have two other items, Peter. One, as those of you who are on the policy board are well aware, we are planning an orientation for new policy board members. And actually it's open to anyone on the board. You know, we're trying to obviously to reach the new members, but also folks who may have entered into office last term and are still, you know, wondering a little bit about CROG, the programs and services we provide, et cetera. And we're certainly hoping that new town managers and new administrators within the region are available to attend as well. Many of them do serve as their community's alternate on the policy board. So we've scheduled that orientation for 11 a.m. in advance of the policy board meeting on January 24th. So next Wednesday at 11 a.m. And we will conduct the orientation in a hybrid fashion. We're hoping that most attendees will be able to come in and attend in person. But if not, if they could remote in, that's fine too. So to the best of our memory, this is the first time we've conducted an orientation along these lines. We're hoping it goes well. We'll be looking for feedback certainly afterwards. But those of you with new chief elected officials who are policy board members, really want to, if you could encourage those folks to attend next week, that would be great. Even if you've got a chief elected official who's relatively new and has had limited involvement at CROG, we'd love to see them. And of course, you're all welcome as well. So just wanted to highlight the orientation for next week. And then my last item for today, Peter, and some of you have participated in this, we're busy working to prepare our proposed legislative agenda for the upcoming session of the General Assembly. We've got an ad hoc committee. Some of you, like Jonathan and others, have been serving on it. We've met a number of times. Jason Bauza from East Windsor is leading that effort, as he has in years past. And we do plan to present a draft to the policy board next week for its review and approval. A couple of items that are on there that I think would be of keen interest to this group. We're going to be talking about the bipartisan infrastructure law later on in this meeting. We are going to be seeking legislation that would help cover a portion of the local match for BIL projects. Recall, there's a 20% local match for most of those grant opportunities. And we know that can be a challenge for many of our communities. And there are some states that are assisting municipalities with covering that match. Rhode Island, as an example, has set up a pretty interesting program that's administered by their statewide infrastructure grant. It's kind of a competitive process that municipalities can apply to. So that's one example we will highlight in our program. Once again, we're going to be requesting legislation, or at least proposing that we request legislation to allow communities with a population of 25,000 or more to enter into by interlocal agreement or through a council of governments, create a regional fair rent commission. Recall, we've discussed that in the past, a fair rent commission that's a quasi-judicial body. There's some complexity in terms of staffing it and administering it properly. It can be a challenge to find commissioners who are willing to serve. So, you know, there appear to be an interest statewide in this, in allowing towns to create regional entities. So hopefully there's some support from that in the upcoming session. And then last but certainly not least, we are looking for the state to increase its reimbursement rate for Medicare and Medicaid ambulance transports. So just want to highlight the upcoming orientation as well as our work on the legislative agenda. Happy to take any quick questions on those or anything else that members may have. Peter, I don't know if you want to turn to Pauline first and then take questions all in one shot. Yes. or pause let's, now.
Let's do that, Matt, if you can hold our questions. And Pauline, do you have any updates or reports for us?
So the only update that I have is RPIP. It looks like with regards to building officials, we actually have some movement there. So we'll be able to report more details probably in the next month. As you know, ACO is actually the one that's moving forward the best in terms of we're probably going to have an MOU between Andover, Hebron, and Columbia fairly soon, next month, hopefully. But that's basically all buttoned up. And then still looking for willing partners on assessor. So that might be one. That's the one that where we're having the most challenges there. Assessor or even, you know, assessment clerks or something. Anything.
All right. So great. Thank you, Pauline. Does anyone have questions for either Matt or Pauline at this point?
Peter, I just have a quick question about the ACO initiative. Is that to share a facility? And if so, where would it be located?
So actually, it's to share a facility and officer. The facility is located in Hebron. And they have, so Columbia and Andover actually also have facilities. So they would serve as overflow backup emergency facilities for, you know, hoarding situations or what's the other thing? Natural disasters or something where you end up with a lot of animals.
Thank you.
Pauline, is that sharing a existing shelter or are they looking to either add or construct new?
So it is an existing, but all of the shelters are existing, but Hebron is making some improvements because there were some changes to the code they're not major changes, but it's about $50,000 in upgrades that Hebron is doing to their facilities, and RPIP is supporting some of that.
Great, thanks. Matt, I see your hand raised.
Yes, Peter, I should mention one other thing. I'm sorry, and I imagine everybody on the call is aware that our executive director emeritus, Lyle Ray, passed away recently. Very, very sad, my predecessor. And I know he was a good colleague and a friend to many of us. Hopefully you've all received the information we sent out, including a copy of his obituary. But for those of you who might be interested and available, Lyle's family will be holding a memorial service this coming Saturday, the 20th. Visitation will start at 2 p.m. and then the service will start at 3 p.m. And both of those will be held at the Molloy Funeral Home in West Hartford. We are also preparing, our next newsletter will be dedicated to Lyle's memory. Aaliyah Miller, who has joined us today, she's taken the lead in terms of preparing that. And several former board members and longtime current board members have contributed some memories and anecdotes of Lyle that we'll include in that publication. And if anyone at today's meeting has a memory you would like to share, please don't hesitate to send it to Aaliyah. Sometime this week would be good. So obviously very sad news for all of us. And we're certainly going to do our best to honor Lyle's legacy in the future. I know I'm in conversations with a couple folks about what's a proper way to remember him, whether it's a scholarship or something similar. But thanks for the additional time, Peter.
Absolutely. And thank you, Matt, for reminding us of that. Lyle certainly was very active in supporting many functions and got us started on all of our back office efforts in his time here. So any questions for additional questions for Pauline or Matt? I just encourage folks to really take a look at the assessor component. Pauline and I've had and Matt have had a couple conversations about how we can maybe reshape that, perhaps to similar to what we're working on with the building official area, where it can be maybe a pipeline, but a workforce development pipeline. All right. Not hearing or seeing any other questions. The two items we have for business, one relates to the potential request for proposals under the speed cameras or red light cameras, and then discussion about the bipartisan infrastructure funding programs. So on the first item, I'm curious to know from you folks that are on the line, how many communities are considering adopting ordinances and moving forward with an application to the state for either the speed enforcement or red light cameras. Just jump on in. And I think, Bob, I think Canton, you guys may have considered an ordinance or at least had one.
Yeah, we're looking at the possibility of an ordinance subject to Board of Selectmen approval. But we do have a subcommittee or temporary committee that's looking at adoption of an ordinance and putting in an application. We have had a meeting with a consultant. I think they sent literature around to a lot of different towns about actually overseeing the whole project for us. But we are looking at that possibility.
Yep. Bob, off top of your head, do you remember who that consulting firm was?
Yeah, it was the Census GATSO group. All right. And I know they did, I think they sent, like I said, a little literature around to a number of different municipalities, but they seem pretty good. They actually come in and they set up the cameras, they maintain the cameras, they calibrate the cameras, they review all the recordings, they make recommendations to your department as to, you know, who the violators are. Obviously, the final say is up to the department, but they do a lot of the background work for you. And for a small municipality, it may be the way to go. Supposedly, they claim that they can do it for the amount of the fines that you're getting. So that, you know, you may not make a lot of money off the fines, but you're not paying a lot for the cameras and the other things too. Again, I have a little bit of suspicion about that with a smaller community, but, you know, we haven't looked into it in great detail yet.
Great. Pauline, I see your hand raised, but I may not be seeing everyone. So Pauline, want to go first and anybody else can jump in following.
Yeah, so if people want, Roger Cron from our office is on the call to give an overview of what's needed, the sort of the steps that are needed before the RFP or purchasing of the cameras, because I think there's some requirements from getting DOT approval, and I think they just came out with their guidelines.
We did. So I guess I was getting a feel for how many folks are interested at this point in time. So if anybody else, any other communities, and I say, Fred, I see your hand up, or what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, we actually just had a meeting this morning, actually, the mayor, myself, with a different consultant. It was Vera Mobility, and they're the ones with the state DOT contract right now for the work zones and the highways. Just getting a sense of it, I know that I've got council direction to move forward and get things going here. Obviously, Silas Dean and the Berlin Turnpike are major issues for us, both state highways, and we had a meeting a couple weeks ago too with Commissioner DOT, and they said, yep, state roads, but those are on you. If you want the cameras, you've got to do it, and it's you take care of everything, and that's up to you how you want to handle it. So we are definitely going to be moving forward with some sort of an RFP. But this was our initial meeting. So,
okay. So the reason I raised this is because I know there's a good number of us that are at different stages. And we're Windsor's probably somewhere in between where Canton and you are, Fred. We've basically been collecting data and kind of starting to mine that data. I thought it would be appropriate for us to have this discussion here if we can do it on a coordinated fashion. Or maybe we can play off the state bid, but the thought was to get either upfront work done, or even when it gets into actually purchasing or leasing, however it is, the actual equipment. But prior to that, if Roger, if you could, I think many of us have probably already seen the guidelines, but if you could provide a high level kind of major milestone overview, that would be appropriate at this point.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Pauline, just before the meeting, I had sent over a few slides. Would you be able to show those, or could I? Yeah, you're pulling them up.
I'm glad you asked Pauline and not me, Roger. Thank you.
Otherwise, I could try sharing, but
yeah, give me. Okay. I did not.
She's looking, in general, the CONDOT just issued guidelines January 2nd for automated traffic enforcement safety devices plans for municipalities. So it is on their webpage. It's if you go to their DOT homepage, you'll see an icon and for these ATESD plans. And all the guidance is in a document on the DOT website. These ATESDs are devices that collect images that capture license plate, date, time, and location. They can only be installed in four locations. I could share my screen, Pauline.
I got it. I'm slow here. Okay. This is the one, right?
Yep. Okay. So that's the DOT webpage, right? The previous slide there was the DOT webpage. You'll see that. And all the guidance is on there. They have a nice guidance document. And then the next slide, I have kind of a few key components are They can only be, they're only allowed in four basic locations. At traffic control in the gray box, I'll go through this in a little more detail. At traffic signals, in approved school zones, in approved pedestrian zones, and at other speeding locations. And municipalities are responsible for establishing enforcement ordinances, selecting the locations, and all the protocols for maintenance and enforcement. And in the last blue box, the plan must be submitted to the Office of State Traffic Administration, OSTA, for review and approval prior to installing. So on the next slide, I have just two other slides here. So the locations, like I had mentioned, they can be installed at traffic control signals, and they can be both at on a local road and also on state-owned roadways. School zones, they have to be an approved school zone that would be approved under OSTA, under what they have in their inventory, or an approved pedestrian safety zone. These are, which would be approved by Office of State Traffic Administration or the local traffic authority. These are those official pedestrian safety zones that were just recently approved by state legislature, I think 2 years ago. And then other locations that show a history of speeding or a history of crashes. So you'll have to have that data to show that. Now, they also have a requirement that only two devices can be shown in qualified census tracts in the qualified census tracts to economically disadvantaged communities. So that requirement would need to be met also. And then the process overall is the municipality would need to submit a plan to OSTA for approval. And the guidelines state all the specific requirements and some of the basics that you have to have an ordinance adopted by the municipality. The municipality has to conduct a public hearing. And then there needs to be a comprehensive safety action plan submitted. They are allowing the regional safety plans that were prepared by Connecticut DOT a few years ago. So if your municipality does not have a comprehensive safety action plan, you can use our regional transportation safety plan that we have at CROG. So that's just a little high level overview.
Great, thank you very much, Roger, appreciate that. Any questions relative to the DOT's guidelines that Roger might be able to answer or we can follow up on? So, well, it's interesting reading. I was hoping from my own perspective to be a little bit more specific, you know, metrics and measures in there, but it pretty much follows the State Public Act as I read it.
Right.
Overall. So one of the, again, so we're trying to gauge here from the committee members is if this is something that doing either RFP for the initial development of a comprehensive plan, either looking at mining some of the data that we've all collected in terms of speed and crash data, and or actually looking at the, you know, the technology, you know, maybe pre-qualifying a number of vendors that communities could perhaps select from. If there's any interest on that, it's kind of a, you know, this is not looking for 100% commitment, but just trying to get a sense of, is this something that you'd like perhaps the CROG as an entity to kind of pursue so that we aren't all getting picked off one by one or taking, you know, get a little efficiencies by working together. Thoughts, ideas?
Yeah, I would just say, Peter, that I think this is the perfect example of something that, you know, CROG could go out and do the RFP for us and qualify the firms, because, you know, there are going to be a number of them coming at us. And from what I understand is there are those that are very adept in this area and have done a lot of areas, and others that are just trying to get into the hot place and, you know, kind of take advantage of folks. And this is very specific and very technical. So the more that we can do this together, I think it just makes sense.
Fred, would that be on both sides, the upfront work as well as the vending in terms of the camera technology and the execution component? Is that your thought, or?
I mean, I think certainly on the vending piece, it just makes sense. But you know, as far as the upfront, I've still got to get my head around it a little bit too, in terms of what we need to come up with. I know we have very good data, you know, particularly on the roads that we're going to be focused on. And, you know, in terms of what plans we need, you know, model ordinances, all those types of things, you know, any assistance there would be great as well.
Okay. What are some of the other community's thoughts?
I would certainly concur with what Fred said, especially as it relates to the vendor. I think a lot of the specific data is going to be town specific. We're going to have to collect that on our own and, you know, basically formulate our own plan. But as far as selecting a vendor goes, if there was a, you know, selection process that was done through CROG, that obviously would save us from having to do that. So I think that would be very useful.
Thank you, Bob. Jonathan, what are you guys thinking in Glastonbury? No one speeds in Glastonbury. I heard no one speeds in Glastonbury. Is that true?
No one speeds. Nobody. I was thinking, you know, although I haven't heard, you know, anything about this and from the council or the public, it would be quite helpful in a sense for those communities that maybe are like Glastonbury with this isn't on our radar screen right now, to go ahead and have those other communities who are ready to move along work with a vendor, because then afterwards, you know, 1, 2, 3 years down the road, we could then approach that vendor and learn how it went, find out how it's going in those other communities. So I think it'd be great if, you know, CROG as a whole, it would benefit everyone if CROG could, through grants or even some, you know, other funds that are available, you know, get those resources mobilized now.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan, for being such a good. Let me pick on you. I can do that because Jonathan and I go back, way back. We go way back, don't we, Jonathan?
Anytime.
So, well, maybe there's a little bit of legwork could be done, or even a model ordinance. I know, Bob, we've got your draft ordinance, but even there's a couple of different ordinances that we can as a starting point. I see Roger, your hand raised.
I was just thinking also, do you want to share that under our Safe Streets for All grants, both West Hartford and Hartford received grants for pilot studies last year, mm-hmm. planning grants. So they're out in front with, they'd be starting to undergo this process hopefully soon too, just for your information. Right.
Thank you. And Matt, you got some thoughts?
Yeah. A couple of additional things I would share, Peter, and thank you for facilitating a good conversation on this. So we could bring the idea to our transportation committee to get their input as well. Roger, I assume we could prepare at least the basics of a toolkit, you know, having that state information available, et cetera, having that available on our website. And then Pauline, can you talk about what we could do from a procurement standpoint?
Yeah, so from a procurement standpoint, I'm hearing a couple of different things, right? In addition to the model, there's the consultant piece and the devices piece. We could RFQ, my recommendation would be like a request for qualification so that we have the results, but then the towns would be able to choose if they wanted to go with a certain vendor. That's one option. Another option is that CROG can hold the master contract with one or two vendors, and then towns can sign on, much like some of our other programs. Either way works for that. And we could potentially open it up to all of CRPC, since the amount of work, it will be basically the same, whether we have it for CROG or for the Purchasing Council. I would say I just did try to do a quick search for the state contract. And I do not believe if there is a state, if DOT has a contract, it's not piggybackable. It doesn't appear to be, but we'll do a double research on that to make sure that's true.
I think that contract was very specific to construction zones, and they're on mobile units. They're not fixed mounted, which what we're talking about, I think, is a very different, scenario anyway.
That would be why I'm not finding it, or what I'm finding does not appear to be matching what we need. So, but definitely that's all things that we could definitely do, and we could do it ahead of time so that people are ready to hit the ground once they pass all the necessary. I don't know what OSTA's estimated turnaround time is for the plans are either. So,
my understanding is it's 60 days or thereabouts. Okay. Roger, you may have better information on that timeline.
That is correct. After they receive your ordinance and the municipality has conducted a public hearing, then submit all their data.
Yeah. So we could definitely start working on on those.
Roger, did you have anything else?
Just one other thing about vendors. I have heard from some nationwide vendors that supply this equipment, and it seems common. A more common business model is that those firms that they supply the cameras and they operate the back office with the fines, that they take a percentage of the fines as their revenue, as their business model. That is not allowed under this legislation. So that we might be in a kind of a totally different ballgame than the rest of the country or other states that are doing this.
Thanks for sharing that. That's
thank you. That's helpful.
I do like Matt. I like the idea of having a discussion with Transportation Committee. Many of those folks are LTAs for us. I think that's a good concurrent next step. When maybe while the staff kind of gets a little bit of more background in terms of vendors and before formal RFQ. Type of process gets kicked off. So perhaps if it's okay with the group, we can kind of have this back on the agenda for our February timeframe. That gives, I'm not sure what Transportation Committee cycle is, but maybe that we can have a Transportation Committee in the intervening 4 weeks here. And so then we can continue the conversation in February.
Sounds great, Peter.
Okay. Great. Okay. So, Matt or Elizabeth, can talk about all the good work that's been done and ongoing for the infrastructure and other federal funding programs. So I'm going to hand it right on off to you folks.
Thank you, Peter. I'll kick things off and turn it over to Elizabeth pretty quickly. So as you all are aware, we've been working hard over the past year or so to really promote the funding opportunities available under the bipartisan infrastructure law and related legislation. And we brought Elizabeth on board to assist with that. And she's been doing a great job putting information out there. We thought it would be also useful at this point in time to provide a bit of a status report in terms of where do we stand as a region. We want to share it with this committee and then potentially with the full policy board as well. So Elizabeth has put together this memo, also worked with Ryan Faulkner from our staff to prepare this neat interactive map, which she'll show you as well. We have noted some issues with the data. Elizabeth can flag that. But really, we want your input following her remarks here today in terms of how useful you find this. And any suggestions you have for future reports. Elizabeth, turn the floor over to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the purpose of this really is to just show the awards that have been granted in our region. And as Matt mentioned, the data, we are limited by the data. So unfortunately, the data did not reflect the known awards that Glastonbury, Hartford, Weathersfield, and Rocky Hill received for SS Foray in December. So we're kind of right now using the data that was available, you know, last updated in the fall through, I believe, November 22nd was the drop dead date that the White House source is using. But it does show that there are quite a few grants that have been awarded, and 29 total discretionary grants only. We didn't include the formula funding that comes out through like surface transportation block grants and other programs like that. But so based on this static data, it's $108 million to the region of both municipal and non-municipal applicants. And the tables, I know a few of you maybe had a chance to go through the memo, but the tables that are provided on the second page of the memo, which realizing is maybe not on Pauline's shared screen, but I could pull it up if that would be helpful. The tables that are provided are really focused on what we've assumed to be municipal grants. And let's see. So there's, we have focus on just the municipal, but unfortunately we're also limited by the data in that it did not show who the applicant was. So we made a few assumptions and possibly we make, there's a program here from the USDA that the REAP program, Rural Energy for America program, that is most likely a non-municipal. So that may have to shift, and that's showing down in that table two below. So we have table one, figure two is what it's really labeled here, showing the BIL funding grants, and then table two is showing those issued from the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA. And we're looking for your feedback too, as you know, we try to work through the sources that are available to us, and we can make little tweaks and updates, or you know, potentially look at an alternative data source as well. But right now we're using the White House data, that is that snapshot in time, and it does show that we've got quite a few grants awarded in the area, which is great, but would like to see, you know, what more we can do in the region to take full advantage. So interested in your thoughts and open to any questions you have.
Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. That's you know, $40 million to the municipalities plus the $7.4 million to the other agencies are fantastic. I've got a question, and it's really a clarifying question. Under the code implementation for efficiency to Marlboro, is Marlboro, is that for one project, or are they just a lead and it's for multiple communities? Do you know offhand?
I don't, and I had to kind of look this up, you know, just in this last week of reviewing this information, because that's not a project I was involved with, but that program is for kind of some of the work that we're working on with the building code officials, energy upgrades available to communities for building code education on energy efficient codes. So I don't have specific information on, you know, we really only have the location that the grant was awarded, not even the applicant based on this data.
Okay. It was, that's a big number. I just hadn't heard, but so.
Yeah,
so I guess
it's not something I was involved with, but.
Well, you know, so I guess I'd open it up to the full group to see what kind of, you know, obviously there's a lot of different monies out there. We've all been looking at it. Some of them seem to fit better. Some of them, you know, some of them are a little bit more of a challenge. But what might, any suggestions for Matt and Elizabeth, how they might be able to assist us individually? I know they've made pleas multiple times over the course of the last 2 years, was to be able to say, hey, they're there as a resource. Is there anything else that, or any feedback or thoughts or ideas that folks have? I know I have one, Elizabeth, which I need to contact you, is about stormwater. If there's any monies floating around there, out there, that might address stormwater stuff. So
I'll just bring up now. Do you mind, Peter?
Not at all.
Yeah, the newsletter.
I just want to make sure folks understand that that's something that we can each do. We can call Elizabeth, be able to say, hey, I've got this X, Y, and Z project that's out there. Is there any buckets that we may be able to, you know, get fit into? And Elizabeth will do a little bit of legwork for you. If I understand that correctly, Elizabeth, if I'm overselling it, let me know.
No, that's part of our grant screening process, is what we've been calling that, where you kind of tell me the projects that are priorities, and then we try to look for funding opportunities. And but I did want to make sure everybody is receiving the newsletter, and I meant to mention that earlier. But if you're not on the, it's a Constant Contact newsletter that gets emailed out about once a month, unless there's a really time sensitive hot topic or red hot funding op is what we've called them. When those come out, we try to give a mid-month issue. And the Bridge Investment Program was the recent one that came out just before Christmas, before the holiday weekend there. So it might have gotten missed, but that's a good opportunity for any bridge improvement projects or culvert projects, which, to your point about stormwater, but only if the culvert or the bridge is listed on the National Bridge Inventory, which could be a limiting factor for a lot of these. But the newsletter would be a great starting point to you. And also if you share your projects and priorities, that's helpful too, because then I know which programs to feature that folks are most interested to, and can tailor messages as well.
Great. Questions, thoughts, ideas?
Peter, I just want to say that, you know, Elizabeth was fantastic helping out Weathersfield as we move forward with our Safe Streets for All grant with Rocky Hill, and staff has just raved about the assistance we've gotten from CROG. So I'll just emphasize that it's a great team, and we appreciate all the help.
Thanks for sharing that, Fred. So
thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Elizabeth, could you briefly mention the RAISE grant application we're working on? I think that would be of interest to this group too.
Yeah, sure. We are in the process of coordinating a RAISE grant, which is the Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity RAISE for Berlin Turnpike, on Route 15 that goes through Berlin, Newington, and Weathersfield. So we're in the process of coordinating an application for that, and getting all the ducks in a row with funding commitments with each of the three towns, as well as CROG, and support from the state DOT. And that would be a focus on improving bike, ped, bicycle, pedestrian infrastructure to make the roadway safer as well as other recommendations that might have come up through our regional transportation safety plan and other recommendations that we can work to implement. So
is that implementation or a planning and design?
Or we're looking at planning and design.
Okay.
Yeah, an implementation grant, for CROG as a lead applicant on that, I think would get complex, is my understanding, the way things are here, but others might be able to comment on that.
Okay. All right. I'll echo Fred's thoughts. It's great to be able to have this resource, and sometimes we're all overwhelmed, and many of us believe in the fact that we don't chase money to chase money. And so helping have someone act as a filter and to help vet things goes a long way. So appreciate that, Elizabeth and company. So if there's no other items, let's move on to item 5, municipal information sharing. Anybody have anything they'd like to ask of each other or share? Certainly, as we all start jumping into budgets, maybe that February timeline, we could, at that meeting, we can talk a little bit about share what folks are looking at in terms of either budgets that they've proposed or are about to propose, just to make sure we kind of know what the context we're all operating under as we go through. Anybody has any ideas how to manage through a property revaluation implementation? I'd love to hear them. Anything different than a phase in? I've lived that, don't want to live that again.
Peter, I can share with you our presentation that we did when we went through that. I think it was the way we laid it out, I think, was a good, clear way to move it forward, because there's a lot of confusion between the public and even the board. So I can share that with you.
Are you in October 23 or October 22?
It was October 20. I'm trying to remember when I got here. It was last year.
If you could share, that would be fantastic.
22, because we're 24. Yeah. I'll share that with you.
That would be great.
Thanks. So.
Peter, just two things. If anyone has a work from home policy that they wouldn't mind sharing, I'd appreciate it if you could email that to me. We're looking at what we do. It's never been formalized, so we're looking to formalize that. We want to be sensitive to kind of modern needs versus also the realities of, you know, we're municipalities and not the travelers. So trying to do a balance there. So if anyone has something, they could forward it to me, I appreciate it. And the other thing is just budget discussion, Peter, is MRSA money, the municipal revenue sharing account money, doing the budget and digging into that. And it seems like that is something that isn't guaranteed to the towns. It's connected to the state sales tax collection. And it would be helpful, I think, not just for Glassbury, but for everyone, to try to find out, if possible, from someone maybe at OPM, what the lay of the land is in terms of revenues for next year. If they could give us some projections as to what we might expect. Is it going to be business as usual in terms of what we've gotten the past few years? Is it going to drop? So that would be something I think that would benefit us all, and maybe as a cog, we could get OPM's attention more than if just one of us asked for some info on that.
All right. Anybody know off the top of the head when the governor is the first Wednesday or second Wednesday that he's going to present his budget? Anybody know that calendar? I think it might be the 14th. And it was generally the first or second Wednesday of the month of February. So it's still a month away. Okay.
Mind it, just to follow up, it's a good point. It's a good point, Peter. I was talking with my state rep a little. I understand that MRSA money is really kind of discretionary, if you will. And so you know, just trying to nail that down in a tough budget year would, you know, I don't know if it's going to show on the governor's budget. Maybe it will. I don't know.
Yeah. My recollection is it does show there, but I do know it's kind of a fungible. So. Okay. Anybody else have any requests, ideas? All right. Okay, item six. Anything on future items, Matt? You want to stick with kind of trying to pull together an item for SEDS?
Yes, I think that'd be helpful, Peter. Obviously, we just covered federal funding today. We'll continue to periodically provide updates. Stormwater management, we can probably mention in a staff report next time. Recall, the state awarded us a grant or notified us that we were getting a grant. They notified us this past summer. The grant is for $250,000 under the Climate Resilience Fund to prepare a regional stormwater management strategy. We had really hoped to get the grant assistance agreements this winter so we could begin work on the project. DEEP is the administrating, it is the agency, and we're trying to get a good status report from them in terms of when we might receive that so we can move forward with that project. We'll continue to keep you updated on legislative issues. A couple other things I think might be of interest to this group are our POCD. I don't know that we've brought the POCD to municipal services before. You know, you might have an interest in it, the regional POCD. We're making good progress there. And then the topic of workforce development, Elizabeth and I and others are working on some workforce development initiatives specifically for local government. And Peter, I know you've been involved in that too. I think we can, that would be a good item to discuss with this group.
Great. All right, so we got a few things teed up that we can work in between the February and March meetings, but if anybody has any topics, please send them along to us. That way we can try to work them in. Right now, if my calendar is up to date, which is always questionable, I have February 20th as the next meeting. And that going to be a hybrid, Pauline? I know.
We're planning on it being a hybrid.
Great.
Yep. The March meeting would be a little difficult to do a hybrid because it'll be right after our move.
Okay. So, oh, fantastic.
We'll feed you if you come.
What's that, Polly?
I said, we'll feed you if you come.
That's a good teaser. Yeah. All righty. If there's no other items, we'll call the meeting adjourned, and we will plan on seeing folks on February 20th. My calendar may not allow me to attend that day, so we may be looking to Grace or someone else maybe to lead this meeting, but I'll let you know a little closer. So, all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone attending today, and maybe in February you can bring along one of your neighboring communities to join us as well. So, all right, folks.
Thank you all.
Have a great
day. Thanks all so much. Take care.